Well, usually on the first Sunday of every month, we have set aside this day to stop and celebrate communion together. And this morning, I want to look at a passage of Scripture that we don't usually look at when we are ready to celebrate communion. It is a passage of Scripture that we generally look at right after Jesus' resurrection. But this morning, I want to take a look at this story, this event, and it's found in Luke chapter 24. And if you have your Bible with you this morning, I want to invite you to take your Bible and turn to this passage and follow along as we explore this story just a little deeper and a little closer and catch a glimpse of some of the things that are happening in this story. And see what God's Word has to say to us this morning as we break it and as we look at it in light of this particular event that happens. As we get started, I'm going to invite you just to bow your heads as we just commit this time to the Lord. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your Word. Thank you for this passage that we will look at. And God, as we read through this passage, as we apply some of the truths of your Word to real life, to our lives, I pray that, Lord, you would speak. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Luke chapter 24, starting with verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And Jesus said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood there looking sad. Verse 18, then one of them named Cleopas answered him and said, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days?" Jesus answered and said, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him." Verse 21, "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. And anyway, besides that, 3 days have passed since this has happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us that they were at the tomb early this morning, and when they didn't find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. In fact, some of those who were with them went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see Jesus." Verse 25, Jesus said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. As they drew near to the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So Jesus went in to stay with them. Verse 30, while he was at table with them, Jesus took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened. They recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Verse 32, they said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scripture?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. You know, this morning, we're here, as I said earlier, to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. We're here to recall and reflect on what Jesus did for us on the cross. But what would happen if we were to sharpen that focus just for a moment? In fact, ask yourself, what does Jesus want to do for me? What does Jesus want to do for me specifically this morning? In other words, when we celebrate communion together, what's the point? What is Jesus' purpose? Just for a moment, try to immerse yourself into the story that I just read. Imagine walking on that road to Emmaus along with those two disciples that I just read about in Luke chapter 24. Oh, and by the way, don't forget that these two disciples had heard two reports before they left. They had heard the two reports of the resurrection. Don't forget that. That's important. They had heard Mary's report. They had heard Peter's report. However, because they hadn't personally seen the evidence, or maybe a better way to say that would be because they didn't take the time or they didn't want to check out the evidence for themselves, probably because maybe they were afraid of being caught, perhaps possibly receiving a death sentence themselves, they decided to pack it in. They decided to head home. They decided to go back to their old way of life. Think about it. Incredible, isn't it? They gave up on Jesus. They gave up on Jesus, but thank God that he didn't give up on them. Amen? Now, how do I know that? Well, take a look at the passage again. Look at verse 15. Notice what the text says. As these guys were walking along, as these disciples were traveling on this road, it says, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. In fact, I like the way it reads in the King James Version, Jesus drew near. He came right upside them, right alongside them. They weren't looking for him. They weren't expecting him. There is nothing here to indicate that they were anticipating his arrival anytime soon. And oh, by the way, you need to understand that the thought here isn't that these two disciples were simply geographically distant. No, their faith was distant as well. You see, Jesus knew their need. And so he drew near to them. He didn't say, you know, fine, you want to leave? You want to doubt? You want to turn your back on me? Go right ahead. Just don't expect me to come looking for you. Don't expect me to come and bail you out. Better yet, when you clean up your act, when you smarten up, when you return to where I am, maybe then I'll consider taking you back. Uh-uh. Thank God Jesus didn't do that, and Jesus isn't like that. You see, he knows our weaknesses. He knows your weaknesses. He knows my struggles. He knows your struggles. The problem is, as we read this passage all these years later, we think that we're so much better than these disciples. Really, we do. We think that we would never act that way, right? But the fact is, we would. And we do. And we will. You see, so often, life fogs up our vision. So often, life fogs up our understanding or our faith or our hope. And so often we allow the circumstances around us to overshadow the truth. It's easy to fall into a cycle of depression. It's easy to lose focus. It's easy to doubt. It's easy to forget. It's easy to fall away. Easy to reject. It's easy to take for granted or to misunderstand. It's easy to give up and give in. But thank God that in spite of our clouded situations and our clouded circumstances, that in spite of frequently getting lost along the way, even though there are times when we decide to take the first plane out of town and run away from our difficulties, there is a God who not only comes looking for us, but he also draws near and he travels with us until we see again. Folks, that's good news. Amen? That's grace. That's Jesus. And then notice Jesus spoke with them for hours. Can you imagine? He spent the day with them explaining the truth of the scriptures. This wasn't a 20-minute message, okay? This wasn't, here it is, and then they were done. No, Jesus was physically with these two until the sun was beginning to set. In other words, they saw him, they smelled him, they walked next to him, they spent the whole day together walking in close proximity to each other, and yet with all of that physical closeness, they still didn't recognize who he was. Pretty dull, those two, don't you think? I mean, it would seem these guys were so caught up in their own little pity party. But wait, before we begin to cast more stones in judgment, think about all those times, even seasons, when you and I have been blind and distant. Think about all those times when we've given up or when we've lost all hope. If you're a parent, it's probably happened with your children, you know? That does it, right? I'm warning you, this is your last chance. Or with your spouse. This is hopeless, right? Our situation is beyond repair. I'm getting out. I'm leaving town. I'm getting on with my life. Or what about your parents? There's no use. You guys just don't understand, right? I'm leaving home. Or what about your place of work? It's hopeless. People around here don't care. I'm not going to take it anymore. I quit. Or at school. This is too hard. I'm in over my head. I'm just going to drop out. And sometimes even with God, I've been praying for all these years, God, and you still haven't helped me. I've asked for patience, and all I get is more problems. I've prayed for freedom, and all I get is more temptation. I've prayed for healing, and all I get is sicker every day. Hello, is anybody up there? You know, we live in a very fast-paced society, and we have become so impatient and so intolerant and so me-focused. And I think as a result, we give up way too easily, way too early, and way too frequently. Thank God we're not left alone. I'm not saying that you'll never feel alone, because the truth is you probably will. But that's not because God has abandoned you. It's because you've abandoned God. People ask, so, where was your God during this COVID crisis? Where was he when my husband walked out on us? Where was he when my loved one died? Where was he when the doctor said it was terminal? The answer is right where you left him. You see, the thing is, God won't go where he's not welcomed. In other words, if we want to keep pushing God out of our life, if we continue to ignore his word, if we continue to break his commandments, then what gives us the right to expect him to be there for us? But thank God that where he's welcomed, where there are those who are genuinely struggling with their faith, where there are those who are sincerely wanting to believe, but because of a lack of hope, just can't see God in their circumstances, you can be sure that you'll find him a lot closer than you think. In fact, you may even be blind to his presence even right now here this morning. But he's sitting there right next to you. And he's right there walking beside you on the road you chose to make your escape. But listen, even though we go through those seasons of blindness, the good news is that sooner or later, he'll do for you what he did for those two disciples on that road to Emmaus. Sooner or later, you will see him. By the way, I want you to notice something else in this passage. It wasn't until Jesus broke the bread that finally their eyes were opened and they recognized Jesus for who he was. Remember Jesus' words? Do this in remembrance of me. You see, communion is a very intimate act. It helps us to focus on Jesus instead of ourselves. It points us to the one who's been near all along. And in this act of remembrance, Jesus reminds us of his constant love. And as we break bread, we see that he has come near. You see, God wants our eyes to be opened. Not only our physical eyes, but the eyes of our mind and the eyes of our heart too. And that's why we gather on the first Sunday of most every month, and we share at this table, not our table, but his table. And then notice the change in the disciples' attitude, because they went from despair to hope. They went from depression to joy, from doubt to belief, from defeat to victory, from dismay to courage, and from disillusionment to enlightenment. They went from, they stood there, their faces cast down in verse 17. They went from, we had hoped, like we read in verse 21, to they got up, and they returned at once to Jerusalem, verse 33, and to, it's true, the Lord has risen, verse 34. Why the change? What changed? Well, Jesus drew near. Jesus broke bread. Listen, today Jesus continues to draw near. And this morning, as we gather together in this place, around this table, Jesus wants to do something. As we remember an historic fact, and as we eat and drink these common everyday elements, we are reminded of an eternal reality. Jesus is here among us. Jesus is walking beside us. Whatever you go through, whatever you will face, wherever that road leads,